the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Charlie McCarron.
I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
And I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And for this month's series, we are going to be talking about deck builders. And you, if you haven't heard of a deck builder, you maybe have heard of the game Dominion, the original of the deck builders.
Papa deck builder, if you will.
Yeah. And you might think of, you know, constructing decks like in Magic the Gathering, or any of those games were precursors to Dominion, but this Dominion kind of spawned this new type of game where you're building your deck during the game rather than before the game starts. So how Dominion works, if you haven't played, there are 10 piles of cards, and the piles all have the same card in them. And so the setup for the game, you know, they have recommended setups of use these 10 cards. But, you know, players are encouraged to create their own set of cards.
Almost like a script with. From Social Deduction.
Oh, yeah.
In
yeah,
a weird
it's
way.
Kind of like, yeah.
There's some overlap there.
Yeah.
For sure. And so as you play the game, you're deciding which piles to buy from, and you add them to your deck, and as you reshuffle, you get...
Yeah, specifically to your discard pile, so they don't come back
right.
until later.
Yep, yep. And usually, you know, there's a... Dominion has kind of started this trend of you always have five cards and use all those cards and then run through your deck. And eventually, kind of the hook of it is you're building up these cards that make cool combos and actions happen. But at some point, you got to start buying victory point cards. But those also clog up your deck. So there's
right.
a push and pull. And when do you stop building up your engine and just like run the engine and get a lot of victory points?
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just to add on to that, you also have coins and you have victory point cards that are always static, that are always kind of the same in Dominion, which I think kind of gives it that easiness that you can return to. It's like, well, I know what copper does. I know what silver does. I know what gold does. Those are all very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 10 cards Charlie's talking about are all action cards. And that's a fun thing about Dominion is that, like, it's a very simple premise. You get an action, a buy, and five cards in your turn.
ABC, action, well, action, buy,
action
cleanup.
Action, buy, cards. Oh, no.
Okay. Well, action, buy, cleanup. That, I mean, that's what they say in the rule book.
Oh, nice. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, yeah, this game, I've played a ton. I used to own, I think, 8 different sets of it. And we'd play, like, every week, once a week for 2 years.
Sure.
Sometimes every day. I don't know.
I also played a lot of it back in high school, although I only ever had the base set and Intrigue.
Mm.
And this was my gateway game into the world of board games back in the, I think, the early double-digit 2000s. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It is a real classic. And Dominion is responsible for a lot of conventions. Like, in many deck builders nowadays, including computer games, five cards in your hand is pretty standard. When you start a deck builder, you assume hand size is going to be 5. Like, you don't even need that to be explained.
And starting deck is 10.
Right, yes.
Because it's two hands.
Yes, and you just assume that when the deck runs out, you're going to shuffle the discard pile. So there are a lot of very powerful conventions that Dominion introduced that nowadays, if you're building a deck builder, it's just sort of expected. And if you don't follow those conventions, people are going to have a harder time learning your game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have played Thunderstone. We didn't talk about that one. That was maybe the second or third deck builder I got into. And they, I think, do 6 and 12. And I was like, oh, yeah. 6 and 12. Oh, that's so exotic.
Yeah, I think Marvel Legendary, is that 6 and 12 too?
I don't remember.
Yeah. But, well, not only is Dominion responsible for a lot of deck builders, but it's also responsible for this podcast, sort of. Because
oh, it is.
I remember we were at a convention together, and you guys started talking about Dominion for, like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes.
It was a full hour.
Yeah.
Oh, an hour?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I want to hear what you guys started talking about.
Well, oh, my God.
I think I floated the idea of a podcast with you, Trevor, and we were sort of thinking of what would it sound like. And so I think one of us said, well, why don't we just try it out with some game? And so we picked Dominion.
Yeah.
And so we just did an experiment and talked about Dominion for
a bit.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, like we were going through the individual cards, talking about how that played out in different ways. Ananda really focused in on the deck shedding at that time.
Yeah, and also how much I hate the witch,
and how much he hates the witch, which I also am not a curse fan nor a militia fan. Yeah. I don't like restrictions. I want to like grow, and which is like prosperity is my favorite expansion.
I don't mind the militia as much.
That's fair.
Yeah. But the witch is.
So I have had a very opposite experience because the first times we were playing Dominion with my friends, we didn't really know all the rules. And we had, turns out we had the curse pile from both the base set and Intrigue. So it's double the amount of curses in the game. And we were just using Witch and Torturer and all these cards. So we're already getting inside baseball on Dominion cards right now. But basically, the cards... attack all other players by giving them a curse card into their deck, which is a junk card in your hand, and it's -1 point. And so we just played a game again, and I was like, we got to use the witch, I ended up buying a witch and I won. Coincidence? Yeah. I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm not denying that the witch is good because each time you're using it, it's effectively 1 point for you.
Sure.
But I just don't like it. But this is an interesting point, which is that in Dominion, attacks affect everybody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't targeted. So you're not picking a player and saying, okay, this is going to hurt you. It's just you play an attack card. Everyone is hit by it. And I actually like that.
Yeah.
Because I am not a fan of take that games. I think sometimes it can feel very mean-spirited when somebody is targeted, especially if the attacker doesn't get anything out of it. The nice thing about attacks that affect everyone is that no one feels targeted, for one thing. And it's obvious that the attack benefits the person who played it because... Like, if you play an attack that only affects one person, everybody else is benefiting because you didn't use your turn to do something that would help you. But if you play an attack that hurts everyone else, you are benefiting because you're the only one it didn't hurt.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which, why not just give that player a positive instead and not hurt people in the process? It's a fascinating...
I have a rebuttal for it. Because I think, you get more interactivity that way.
That's true. That is
true. Because not only... I can attack you and it might be funny.
Right.
But you guys can play emote and reveal and be like clever about, hey, I was defending.
The moat is a defensive card that you reveal from your hand. You don't actually have to play it, which is great.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you, Trevor.
We need these little asides for all these cards we describe.
I suppose the flip side, however, of having attacks that affect everybody equally is that they don't scale very well. Because if you're playing a two-player game, you just have one other person making attacks that affect you. But if you're playing, say, a four-player game, suddenly there are a lot more attacks, and each one hits you separately. Mm-hmm. And they might hit everyone, but the point is there are a lot more attacks flying around. Every single attack is affecting you because they affect everyone. And so the more players you have in the game, the more you're going to get hit by attacks,
right?
Which can be frustrating.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you're getting witches and militia coming at you and you don't have motes or anything to block any of that damage, it feels like people are picking on you even though they're not. And it's like, I guess I need to like get these cards, but I want to do more fun things and just be defensive. And it's like, it's an interesting dilemma.
My personal preference for how to handle it is sort of take a middle ground between the two and have attacks that just automatically affect your neighbors.
Oh, sure.
Sort of Seven Wonders style. I really like effects that interact with just your neighbors because they scale really well.
Oh, sure.
No matter how many players are in the game, you only have two neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even the player to your left or right maybe even might scale a little better from two-player to three-player.
Instead of choosing a target?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, I can think of only, there's maybe one Dominion card that targets one player. in all the sets that I can. But yeah, so I think we could talk a lot about the different sets of Dominion, mm-hmm. but, you know, we've had like, I don't know, 10 or more.
Yeah, I think they had more since their big box came out too. I don't remember what the big box even was. I think it was maybe only four or five of them.
Maybe.
But
it's just, it's such a nice system. You know, obviously customizable card games like Magic mm-hmm. have sets, endless amounts of cards now. Thousands and thousands.
Oh my God. Every year there's, what, four new sets for Magic?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
But yeah.
No offense, Wizards of the Coast or Magic the Gathering. Thank you for doing what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, but Dominion is such a nice system that you could swap out cards from any set.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'll just jump into my takeaway is that Dominion's really good, I think, about, well, first of all, making players feel clever about making the choices for how the game should be.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that same feeling of like, ooh, setting up combos. But you're not just like setting up a combo that only you get to see. It's like
right.
everyone gets to play with those combos.
Mm-hmm. We all get the village, the festival.
Right. Yeah.
And drawing all these cards, making all these extra yeah. plays, getting yeah. all this extra money. Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of basically a puzzle, right? It's effectively a game that's a shared or I guess competitive puzzle solving.
Sure.
In that you're given a puzzle in the form of 10 cards. Plus, you know, the common ones that are included in every game.
Right, right.
And your challenge is, okay, how can I get the most points with these 10 cards? Mm-hmm. And everybody has access to the same 10. So, yeah, it's competitive puzzle solving.
Well, and then throw in that it is still a deck of cards. Like, there's still a random element to it, so you can't exactly predict how things will come up. And, yeah, you have a full experience there that can't be really replicated. And it's not, you know, a perfect information game like chess is. You have this random chaos element that you cannot plan for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you have Throne Room, which doubles the effect of another action card.
Throne Room might be my favorite card, actually.
I love Throne Room. But if you don't have any other action cards, or if it does not come up in your hand, it is worthless.
Right.
It is as useful as an estate, except yep. it doesn't give you victory points.
Yeah, estates are the starting victory point card that gives you 1 point.
1 point
that
only.
That you try to trash
yes,
and get rid of.
Typically.
And yeah, we could go down that rabbit hole too. Of like
there are a lot of rabbit
deck
holes.
Deck shedding, we mentioned
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm. I know I said this wouldn't, but I think this actually might be my takeaway. Just because, I mean, to be honest, it
yeah,
is.
I know,
but,
yeah.
But I guess the one other thing I will say about estates, though, is the fact that you start with 7 coppers, coppers are the lowest form of currency in the game.
They're free if you have a buy.
Right. The fact that you start with 7 coppers and 3 estates, I think, is pretty clever in terms of teaching players an important lesson about the game.
Yeah.
Because one of the most important lessons that Dominion teaches to its players as early as possible is victory point cards take up space in your hand and clog up your turns. And it teaches you that from the very beginning because you start with them.
Yep.
They have absolutely no use. I mean, having everyone start with 3 points instead of 0 points, obviously everyone starting equal makes no difference, but it does teach players an important lesson. And I think when you're designing games, if your game has something that might not be intuitive to new players, mm-hmm. and back in the day before deck builders, this probably wasn't that intuitive, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I want victory points. Surely I want these in my deck.
Oh, God.
But the game shows you from the very beginning, these have a downside.
Right.
So
yeah.
Be careful about taking more of them. And I think that's just a very clever way to teach a lesson.
That's smart. Because I was just thinking, as you said that, like, I wonder if they started in development as you get 7 coppers and 3 silvers or something.
Right.
Just to make, because obviously they want the hands to be different from.
Yeah, you don't want, okay, I have 10 cards, they're all the same to start, so I just get these cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you have to have that variance.
That's yeah. smart. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you're making games, one of the most important things is to think about how new players are going to engage with it and figure out, you know, what to pay attention to and what is, you know, what is good, what beginning strategies they should follow.
Mm-hmm.
So there are tricks that you can do like this to draw players' attention to certain parts of the game. And I think figuring right. those out is very important.
Yeah. Because I remember the first time seeing the chapel card, which it says, oh, trash any number of cards from your hand, four cards from your hand. And we all looked at it like, this is terrible. Why would you do that?
Trash. But it's also only a two cost. It's like, well, it's not even worth that much money.
Like, yeah. And then you find out, like, it's one of the best cards in the game. So
it turns out if you are cursed, going to the chapel really helps you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you need to make sure that they come up in your hand at the same time as the curses. And yeah. That's tough.
I mean, you can also trash coppers and estates, which is also a great idea.
Right, right.
I guess, okay, all right. This is a good segue for my takeaway, which I think for a long time from Dominion has been that getting rid of stuff in a deck builder game, but also in other games, mm-hmm. getting rid of stuff is actually fun. Like, it is very – when you have game mechanics – where players have bad things that are weighing them down.
Right.
It is immensely fun to get rid of those things. Right. Like, often it is more fun than gaining good things.
Hmm. Fascinating.
Cleaning up, is it like, as humans, we want to organize and clean things too, maybe? Like,
I don't know, maybe.
But make things more efficient.
Yeah, like for example, another example would be like in Bonanza, right? In Bonanza, have you guys played?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a hot minute.
Well, trading beans.
Yeah, you're trading beans. It's not a deck building game, but in Bonanza, there are beans you don't want because keeping them would force you to harvest mm-hmm. your beans. You want to trade them away, and it feels really good when you get rid of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, there is, I think, a very big difference too psychologically between something like a curse card that the witches give you and just a starting one copper piece card. Because from our perspective, that is a plus one card. Why would I get rid of something that gets me stuff? And so you're not thinking about, you know, having to shuffle the deck and all that, and that it's, you know,
yeah,
that'll waste space in your mm-hmm. deck. Mm-hmm. So some people don't recognize that immediately, but curses. They know those are bad.
Yeah.
And getting rid of those curses is huge. And I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
Like when they show up at the same time, it's like, oh, thank God. Okay, get rid of that. And yeah. then they experience exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, there are moments of realization in a lot of games, or certainly good games, will give players these moments of realization where they suddenly understand sort of a key fact about the strategy of the game. And that just feels so amazing as a player. And
oh yeah!
In deck building games, one of those key moments is when you're playing a deck building game for the first time, and you realize, oh wait, getting rid of stuff from my deck is actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to figure out because I'm like, I can't get rid of a plus one. Why would I get rid of a plus one? I'll get more of them. I could get free coppers all day long. Then I realized, oh, now I just have a hand of five coppers. Cool.
Yeah.
It feels really good also when you realize, like, you can draw your entire deck. And then all is revealed. I did that in our game. And because I did use my chapel, trashed everything, and you can uh-huh. become super efficient. And then, like, I always loved doing that, where it's like,
that's
I'm
really
going to use my entire deck. How many coins do I actually have in here? And it's like, okay, I can buy
you,
one
And you
thing.
Doubled one, too, I think, right? You got two festivals, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
still replayable to this day, even though I got, you know, after playing it so much, I was like...
Right. Oh, I was burnt out on Dominion for a good long while, but yeah.
I was burnt out too, but after playing our game here, I kind of felt like playing another game.
I know, right? Yeah.
And that was just the base set.
Yeah, like, just the base set.
We went back to the basics.
Nothing fancy. So I'm going to talk about my takeaway real quick then.
Yeah.
And it kind of stems from what I was talking about with... You're trying to figure out these strategies as the player, and all of the cards are in front of you. And then you see this, you know, I think you would call them like the level one heuristic, where it's like, oh,
yeah.
I
can
zero level heuristics, where it's like, oh, villages, get me a card and an action. If I get that, then I will get to draw a card. And if it's a coin, I get to buy more stuff. If it's another action, I get to play that. You get more villages. I get more of this chain going. It's like, oh, this feels great. This feels awesome. But then you realize at the end of all of these villages you may have played in one turn, you did nothing.
Right.
You have no money.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that felt really good though. Shoot. How do I make this better? And then you start exploring the other cards and ingraining those into your thing. So being able to, again, achieve those zero level heuristics is huge. And I think having these cards that are just, like, so apparent with what they can do is lovely. I love that card specifically, Village Festival. There's another one too. I can't quite remember.
The ones that give actions.
Marketplace, I think. They all just like have that very simple.
Oh yeah,
draws like, multiple, one action plus one. Yep. Or plus two action. Plus
actions,
one card.
Draws, well, buys.
The festival doesn't give cards, but yeah.
Right.
That's the only thing with the festival. But they give two actions. So if you're pairing that with, you know, a village, mm-hmm. which gives you more draws, like you just start to see these things mm-hmm. build out. And then you start going into the more intense cards like Chancellor, where you are now shuffling your deck.
Chancellor is great.
Back into your discard.
The Chancellor puts your deck into your discard pile, which means that normally new cards that you gain, you have to wait until your deck runs out before you can use them. But if you use a Chancellor, your deck goes into your discard pile, which means next turn you're going to be shuffling your discard back into your deck and drawing, so you can get the new cards that you just purchased immediately.
Right, mm-hmm. which, like, is a huge benefit.
Yeah. I think, like, thinking about deck builders as a whole for a minute, too, like, what is so satisfying about them? And I think it comes down to feeling clever about making a plan, and then it pays off a few turns in the future. But, like you're saying, it's really obvious that, mm-hmm. like, oh, this is the card that lets you do...
When you play this engine.
Yeah. But it's so satisfying to just keep drawing a hand that is, I did this myself. I did this to myself.
And this is often what Ananda, I think, brings back, is having a chance for the player to be creative and problem solve in the game. It's like, okay, how can I make this work the best?
Right, yeah. Yeah. Giving a sense of ownership over your part of the game.
So, yeah, my takeaway kind of ties into all that, where it's... I used to call them designer traps, where the designer designs something that's fun but doesn't actually yield you anything unless you incorporate it with other stuff. So you like go down this path. It's like, okay, that was really fun, but it didn't actually win me anything. So how do I have that fun transfer into actually scoring points, actually winning?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is a great way to do so, is just by clearly showing how this can be chained together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and like, think, just as a thought experiment, if Dominion was more like a worker placement game,
sure.
where you say you have all the 10 spots are the worker placement things, it's like, those are really boring. It's like, draw a card, gain a money.
Perfect information.
And you just instantly get that reward. Super boring game.
Yeah.
But because of the delay of like, I know this will pay off in the future, and the randomness of them being drawn in your hand, I think.
The being unable to control the true like order that it will come to you, but knowing that it will help you in some way.
Someday. It like makes you think meta about your strategy.
Big picture.
Yeah. Cool. Was there any last thoughts on Dominion?
What a great game.
It is a great game.
They did a good job.
We could dive into any number of these expansions, but
we'll do deck builders again in the future. There's a lot more I want to do still, so
we'll do deck construction, I think, someday.
Yeah, too. Deck construction would be good.
Magic the Gathering, other games.
We'll do Pokemon.
Yeah,
we'll do Star Wars.
Whatever. All right, cool. That's awesome. Dominion.
Thanks.
See you next time.
Hey. Thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.